just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you to Hooters for continuing to be our presenting sponsor. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast moves into week 5, getting you set for your fantasy drafts. We've done weekday episodes, a new episode every day, the entire month of August, starting on August 1st. Thanks to Hooters, we will give you a minimum of 55 unique fantasy podcast, a minimum of that. I might go over, you know me, for this entire season, but you're going to get 25 before the Labor Day weekend when a majority of your fantasy drafts are being done. So we are up to episode 21. We ended last week, episode 20, with our first conversation as a category related to running back. And you know my big board until the season starts with new scoring data still stands from the end of 2021, which was a championship year for me in the podcast league, despite not drafting any of the first 22 running backs, no running backs in the first 3 rounds. So we talked a little bit about the top running backs on my board as it relates to production, and we gave you the top 4, and then we gave you Derrick Henry because he suffered about midway through the fantasy season, maybe just before the midway point of the fantasy season. He suffered a fantasy season-ending injury, and still finished, just with that small sample size, enough points in my 21st century standard scoring settings to finish as the 12th best running back in my fantasy football leagues last year. The top 4 were Taylor, Eckler, Mixon, and Harris, and we talked a lot about them. By the way, further investigation on Eckler, as I've had some people talking about him, Eckler had 70 receptions last year and 20 touchdowns. I just don't think both of those numbers will be replicated. I think there will be some regression to the mean as it relates to Eckler, and that could be due to his physical status. If they do have a defined role in mind for another back, they did spend a mid-round pick on Spiller, although he's gotten injured leading up to the season opener. I just don't think, when we're having the conversation at the end of the year, I don't think 70 catches, 20 touchdowns will be replicated by Austin Eckler. And that is why, you know, we'll put it to you like this. Again, I've said about Jonathan Taylor, yeah, if I have the first pick, I'm going to take him. If I have the second pick and Taylor goes 1, I'm not taking Eckler. If I have the third pick and Taylor goes 1 or 2, I'm not taking Eckler. It would take me until maybe late in the round to take Eckler, and I don't think he's going to fall that far. I think there are people that will just look at his production from last year, fascinated by him being multifaceted, all those touchdowns, and connected to an offense with the dynamic Justin Herbert, who I am all in on, and they say, yeah, he's my RB1. Okay, but I think in 4 months, when we look at the total numbers, 70 receptions, 20 touchdowns for Eckler is going to be tough to replicate. And if he doesn't, then his value actually will be less than where he's projected now. I'm interested that Joe Mixon is not getting as much attention as Eckler, considering what Mixon did last year, 4 points less in my scoring settings. Four. Eckler had 250. Mixon had 246. There is less chance Mixon loses snaps to other running backs than Eckler. Bengals are a Super Bowl team. Chargers were not even a playoff team. I get the excitement around both quarterbacks. I think Mixon's done it longer. We have more of a sample size on him. So I do believe in Joe Mixon and would probably take Mixon over Eckler. I hear about these fades of Najee Harris and people putting themselves out on a limb about why to fade Najee Harris. Okay. That just increases the likelihood that you or I can get him at a good value late in the first round or in the second round. I doubt Najee Harris is going to be around in the second round. I'm going to talk about some fantasy football calculator projections here in a moment. But I have no reason to fade Najee Harris. None. None at all. And then we talked about Derrick Henry. Okay, so off my big board, based solely on scoring, all that matters, running back five last year was James Conner. Running back six was Ezekiel Elliott. Running back seven was Nick Chubb. Running back eight was Leonard Fournette. Huge second half. Four-touchdown game against the Colts. Nine was Cordarrelle Patterson. That worked out awesome for those of you like me who grabbed him on waivers. Whatever it was, week two, week three, week four. Then Damian Harris was there at 10 from the fantasy dumpster fire that generally is the New England Patriots. And then Aaron Jones was 11. So let's focus in on those seven backs because Derrick Henry's 12. And for those of you saying, well, what about Alvin Kamara? He finished 13th in my scoring settings last year. I think Kamara is sort of a unique case, so we'll get to him tomorrow when we do one more running back podcast. But again, big board from last year, scoring only, Connor 5, Elliott 6, Chubb 7, Fournette 8, Patterson 9, who you could play in some leagues like Yahoo, also as a wide receiver. I don't think you're going to get away with that this year. Damian Harris 10, Aaron Jones 11. Now, let me go to the fantasy football calculator data, and I'm looking at nearly 6,000 fantasy mock drafts done between August 22nd and August 26th. 6,000 fantasy drafts, and these are a compilation of standard, half point, and 1 point. Jonathan Taylor won, and it isn't close. We all know that. There's McCaffrey at 2. Now, obviously, McCaffrey's not popping up on my boards from last year because for the second straight year, he was injured and just didn't score enough to click the top 20. Then Eckler comes in 3 based on the data from fantasyfootballcalculator.com of nearly 6,000 mock drafts between August 22nd and August 26th. Derrick Henry, 4. It feels to me that less and less, the closer we get to actually making the call, less and less people are giving up on King Henry. The more we get to brass tacks, the more it's like, I believe. I'm not going to be derailed by the injury last year. I mean, the guy came back and played in a playoff game. After an injury like that, and he comes back and plays in a playoff game. And he's had now, 8 more months to get ready for a season opener. Najee Harris, 5. So for those of you fading Najee Harris, there's some data that says otherwise, based on nearly 6,000 mock drafts via fantasyfootballcalculator.com from August 22nd to August 26th. Dalvin Cook, 6. We'll get to Cook tomorrow because he came up 15 in running back production in my scoring settings last year. Joe Mixon, 7. DeAndre Swift, 8. Kamara, 9. Aaron Jones, 10. Saquon Barkley, 11. Nick Chubb, 12. I want to keep going Javonte Williams, 13. This is the Fantasy Football Calculator mock draft, not my big board from last year, and you know I don't do projections. Then Fournette, 14. Elliott, 15. James Conner, 16. And we're going to stop there. What's wrong with James Conner? What's wrong there? Fifth best scoring running back in my league last year. I traded for him at the trade deadline. James Conner had a major breakout. We saw James Conner being used like he was not used in Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh clearly uses running backs a certain way. But Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray use James Conner as a dynamic running back, and now there's even one less guy behind him to take away snaps. So very quietly, which is fine, there seems to be this anti-James Conner sentiment, or that people don't realize how productive he was for the Cardinals last year. All right. The backup to Conner is no longer there. The quarterback is still there and playing with a chip on his shoulder in Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray's top pass-catching option in DeAndre Hopkins can't play the first 6 weeks, which potentially means Conner gets more touches of the football. Christian Kirk, who was sort of an hot and not, more often not, wide receiver, is gone. Yes, Zach Ertz is now there, but Conner was still producing after they traded for Zach Ertz last year, and I'm not going to... He's a tight end. I don't think Zach Ertz impacts that much of what James Conner did or how often James Conner's number is going to be called. What we saw last year, instead of Kyler Murray doing it himself inside the 5-yard line, James Conner was doing a lot of that. Unless somebody knows something, I don't know. I'm a big believer in Conner. And if he is falling in your league, I think you'd be very happy with that investment. Based on his RB5 numbers last year, it's the same offensive system. They were a playoff team. They lost the Rams in the first round, and Kyler Murray at times just didn't look interested or invested, or maybe he just didn't study enough. Where there's smoke, there's fire. James Conner, I think he can pick up where he left off, and there's no DeAndre Hopkins. The same RB2 that was behind him last year isn't there, and Christian Kirk is gone too. Pass on Conner at your risk. Ezekiel Elliott, and you know I'm a Cowboys fan. I haven't owned Zeke for a couple of years now. This is likely Ezekiel Elliott's last year in Dallas because of the structure of the contract and how the Cowboys can walk away from this at the end of this year unless Zeke wants to take a significant discount to continue playing as a member of the Cowboys and hanging out with his buddy Dak Prescott. Elliott was still RB6 last year. I sense in recent years, and I know Elliott had less than 1,000 rushing yards in 2020. Elliott has become someone that previous owners don't want anything to do with again. The injury to the starting left tackle, which was predictable. I mean, it's awful, but it's predictable. Tyron Smith just can't stay healthy anymore for the Cowboys. So an offensive line that was still pretty weak, in my opinion, or weaker than when Elliott was putting up huge numbers in the early in his early years with Dak Prescott, was weaker than that coming into the season. They did use a first-round pick on an offensive lineman. We're going to play him at guard. Now, they could play him at tackle. We have to see, though, how many holding penalties he's going to take because he does appear to grab a lot when guys get by him based on the college tape. I think Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy want the ball more in Dak Prescott's hands. And Elliott seems to get banged up quickly in seasons. We found out after the year ended that he was playing with an injury he suffered in week four for the rest of the year, and he was no factor in the Cowboys playoff game against the San Francisco 49ers. All that said, Elliott was RB6 last year. I don't think he can replicate an RB6 performance. We did see more of Tony Pollard last year. I think we will see plenty more of Tony Pollard this year. I think Tony Pollard could also be used basically as a wide receiver because he played that position a lot at Memphis. So I understand hesitation using an early draft pick on Ezekiel Elliott. I don't think I will own him this year either. Nick Chubb, I will not hesitate. As I do not hesitate on Browns running backs, especially a running back as talented as Nick Chubb. He did miss some time due to injury last year. He came back from that injury. The Browns have no quarterback of any significance for basically the entire fantasy regular season. None. Kevin Stefanski has always favored running the ball. We're not sure if Kareem Hunt's even going to play, which will be a next man up situation, but it's behind Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb, as I said, according to fantasyfootballcalculator.com, was the 12th running back off the board in these near 6,000 mock drafts. He should be higher than that, and I will treat him higher than that in my leagues. Leonard Fournette, a trade I made, one of five reasons that I won our podcast league last year, was a trade I made mid-October, I guess, early mid-October for Leonard Fournette, once I saw enough to believe the role he was going to have in the Tom Brady Buccaneer offense for the simple fact that Ronald Jones sucked. And if you didn't think Ronald Jones sucked because you were a Buck homer, look at Ronald Jones with the Chiefs. And they pretty much have determined he sucked too. And that's Andy Reid evaluating talent. So, concerns about Fournette's weight? Absolutely. Concerns about the third round pick the Bucs took taking away snaps from Fournette? Not yet. Because Jason Light can't draft running backs. Look at the laundry list of shit running backs, the best of which might have been Ronald Jones. And was Ronald Jones ever really a true number one running back in anybody's mind? And Light has had a bunch of other shit burgers that he's drafted at running back. I think they may want to use White more, but if he doesn't pick up blitzes, especially with a bad interior of the offensive line, Tom Brady's not going to want him out there. He's going to say, get this fucker out of my huddle. Give me Fournette. So I think Fournette holds value again this year as a, he played to an RB1 level last year. I think he's at least an RB2 this year in a Tom Brady offense because he likes Tom Brady and Tom Brady likes him. Cordarrelle Patterson. I get that. He's falling down draft boards. I don't expect you're going to be able to use him at multiple positions this year because he clearly lined up as running back last year. But he finished RB9 just based on running back classification for last year. Look, if he's still sitting there in a middle to late round and you already have 2 to 3 other running backs and you're comfortable with what you have at quarterback and wide receiver, sure. Why not? It is a different quarterback. It's probably going to be 2 different quarterbacks playing for the Falcons this year. Mariota can't hold up. He'll get hurt. I mean, Arthur Smith is probably coaching for his job this year. It's Arthur Smith working for Arthur Blank. That confuses me sometimes. I'm sorry, I'm like that. But, yeah, I'm not investing a high pick in Patterson, but if he's still sitting there later and I don't have another guaranteed option at a key position, I'd love to take to have that talented of a guy on my team, considering all the garbage time he's going to get on a real bad football team. And then we get to Damian Harris, and we'll talk quickly about Aaron Jones. Damian Harris was one of the top 5 guys in the NFL last year in rushing touchdowns. When it comes to Bill Belichick, predicting fantasy performance is as difficult as any other team out there. He can sour on a guy pretty quickly, and Harris has a history of fumbling. And Ramondre Stevenson is lurking and clearly was a guy that got some key use as the season went on last year. I just don't think I want any part of the Patriots offense. It's based on fantasy history, probably an expectation of regression with Harris from double-digit top 5 rushing touchdowns and the fact that there's no true offensive coordinator on this team. You know, the preseason, it seemed like Patricia and Joe Judge were auditioning to call offensive plays. Good luck with that. Although I'm sure the Patriots will still finish like 9-8 because Belichick's that good. And Aaron Jones, you know, Matt Berry had an interesting thing he said on his happy hour on Peacock the other day when he was being asked about stacks. And he said, if you're asking me, should I not have Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones on my fantasy team, Matthew Berry, I think, put it very well and said, one does not limit the other. And especially with Aaron Rodgers breaking in kids as wide receivers, they're going to run wrong routes. They're going to drop balls. You take away the safety net, the big play element. You know there were times in virtually every game the last however many years where they just came into the huddle and Rodgers looked at Davante Adams and said, do it. That's it. That was the play. You know, when you have that schoolyard play. And most often it worked. It's not there anymore. I do think Jones is impacted by the continuing escalation of production and use for A.J. Dillon. But, yeah, I wouldn't mind having Aaron Jones. I mean, Rodgers may have to throw to Jones more out of the backfield based on the lack of Davante Adams. So, I'm not rushing to draft Aaron Jones, but I look at his fantasy football calculator. He's the 10th running back off the board. He scored at 11 last year. Yeah, if I can get Aaron Jones as the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th running back in my draft, I'd be happy to have him, and I'll probably pick up A.J. Dillon as well. I probably would. All right, let's stop there for today. We'll do more running back talk tomorrow. Remember, my email is right.todd@yahoo.com. If you have any specific fantasy questions, I appreciate you listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow.